meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome in TGIF. Thank God it's Friday, and happy Mother's Day to all mothers. As we prepare for Mother's Day, let us begin with the prayer, the Angelus. We're going to pray again today as we did yesterday, the prayer for the pandemic, the prayer the Holy Father is asking us to pray, and the litany. This is very beautiful, and I'm going to do it again. Okay, so, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived with the Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. We fly to your protection. O Holy Mother of God, in the present tragic situation, when the whole world is prey to suffering and anxiety, we fly to you, Mother of God and our Mother, and seek refuge under your protection. Virgin Mary, turn your merciful eyes towards us amid this coronavirus pandemic. Comfort those who are distraught and mourn their loved ones who have died and at times are buried in a way that grieves them deeply. Be close to those who are concerned for their loved ones who are sick and who, in order to prevent the spread of the disease, cannot be close to them. Fill with hope those who are troubled by the uncertainty of the future and the consequences for the economy and employment. Mother of God and our Mother, pray for us to God, the Father of mercies, that this great suffering may end and that hope and peace may dawn anew. Plead with your divine Son as you did at Cana, so the families of the sick and the victims be comforted, their hearts be opened to confidence and trust. Protect those doctors, nurses, health workers, and volunteers who are on the front line of this emergency and are risking their lives to save others. Support their heroic effort and grant them strength, generosity, and continued health. Be close to those who assist the sick night and day, and to priests who, in their pastoral concern and fidelity to the gospel, are trying to help and support everyone. O Blessed Virgin, illumine the minds of men and women engaged in scientific research that they may find effective solutions to overcome this virus. Support national leaders that with wisdom, solicitude, and generosity, they may come to the aid of those lacking the basic necessities of life and may devise social and economic solutions inspired by farsightedness and solidarity. Mary, most holy, Stir our consciences so that the enormous funds invested in developing and stockpiling arms will instead be spent on promoting effective research on how to prevent similar tragedies from occurring in the future. Beloved Mother, help us to realize that we are all members of one great family and to recognize the bond that unites us so that in a spirit of fraternity and solidarity, we can help to alleviate countless situations of poverty and need. Make us strong in faith, persevering in service, constant in prayer. Mary, consolation of the afflicted, embrace all your children in distress and pray that God will stretch out his all-powerful hand and free us from this terrible pandemic so that life can serenely resume to its normal course. To you who shine on our journey, as a sign of salvation and hope, do we entrust ourselves, O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary. Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, hear us. Christ, graciously hear us. God, the Father of heaven, have mercy on us. God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Spirit,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Holy Mary,
have mercy on us.
Pray for us. Holy Mother of God,
pray for us.
Holy Virgin of Virgins,
pray for us.
Mother of Christ,
pray for us.
Mother Divine Grace,
pray for us.
Mother Most Pure,
pray for us.
Mother Most Chaste,
pray for us.
Mother Inviolate,
pray for us.
Mother Undefiled,
pray for us.
Mother Most Amiable,
pray for us.
Mother Most Admirable,
pray for us.
Mother of Good Counsel,
pray for us.
Mother of our Creator,
pray for us.
Mother of our Savior,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Prudent,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Venerable,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Renowned,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Merciful,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Faithful,
pray for us.
Mirror of Justice,
pray for us.
Seat of Wisdom,
pray for us.
Cause of our Joy,
pray for us.
Spiritual Vessel,
pray for us.
Vessel of Honor,
pray for us.
Singular Vessel of Devotion,
pray for us.
Mystical Rose,
pray for us.
Tower of David,
pray for us.
Tower of Ivory,
pray for us.
House of Gold,
pray for us.
Ark of the Covenant,
pray for us.
Gate of Heaven,
pray for us.
Morning Star,
pray for us.
Health of the Sick,
pray for us.
Refuge of Sinners,
pray for us.
Comfort of the Afflicted,
pray for us.
Help of Christians,
pray for us.
Queen of Angels,
pray for us.
Queen of Patriarchs,
pray for us.
Queen of Prophets,
pray for us.
Queen of Apostles,
pray for us.
Queen of Martyrs,
pray for us.
Queen of Confessors,
pray for us.
Queen of Virgins,
pray for us.
Queen of All Saints,
pray for us.
Queen conceived without original sin,
pray for us.
Queen assumed into Heaven,
pray for us.
Queen of the Most Holy Rosary,
pray for us.
Queen of Peace,
pray for us.
Lamb of God, it takest away the sins of the world, spare us, O Lord. Lamb of God, it takest away the sins of the world,
graciously hear us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, it takest away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Grant, we beseech thee, O Lord God, unto us, thy servants, that we may rejoice in continual health of mind and body, and by the glorious intercession of Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, may be delivered from present sadness and enter into the joy of thine eternal gladness, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. By the way, that to say, Queen, what was that? Holy Mother of God, have mercy on us. We can you appropriately say that as well,
yeah.
You know. So
I always, unless you first say it, I don't know.
Well, in the Salve Regina, what do we say? Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, mm-hmm. Our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping in this valley of tears. Turn then, most gracious Advocate, thine eyes of mercy toward us, and after this our exile, Show unto us a blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary, pray for us, Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. But Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, have mercy on us. And indeed, you know, have mercy on us that we haven't heeded the message that we, you know, collectively speaking. I mean there are individuals, people who have, but if you think of the church universal, worldwide, mm-hmm. You know, how many have heeded the message to pray the rosary, to pray for the conversion of sinners, to pray for peace? This was asked of us in Fatima almost 101 years ago.
Wow.
No. I'm sorry. 103 years ago. Gosh, isn't that? It seems like we just had the 100th anniversary of the apparition last year, and this was already three. It's been 3 years already, right?
Yeah.
17, 18, 18, 19, 20, 30 years ago. Time is going entirely too fast. But not only in Fatima, but, you know, in Cabejo. Mm-hmm. I've been there twice in the country of the nation of Rwanda, right in the heart of Africa, a little tiny nation, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful country. But they suffered the genocide in 1994. And when Our Lady appeared in the 1980s to the children in the school, the Catholic school in Cabejo, which is about 3 hours, it seems to me it was about 3 hours from Kigali, which is the capital, she said, you know, that the rivers would flow with the blood of the dead, that people need to convert, they need to return to God. And she said, I come not only for Cabejo or Butare, because it's in the Butare would be the, I don't know if it's considered the province or what, but Kigali, Butare, Cabejo, Butare, Kigali, Rwanda. It's not that I come only for Cabejo or for Butare, for Rwanda or for the whole of Africa. No, she said, come for the whole world with a message to return to God, to prepare for the second coming of my son. And, you know, every Mass that we celebrate is celebrated in anticipation of the coming of Christ. It's really the Mass is the church keeping vigil. So, but, you know, it's have we heeded the call? We really haven't. And so in many ways, what's happening, you know, there's so many levels of this crisis in the world. It's not only the pandemic, the virus now, but I mean, that is, there's been just, you think of the division in our nation and throughout the world, I'll go back to what the Pope Benedict said, that the humanistic, how did he say that? That the world has, I mean, he'll speak about the dictatorship of relativism, Pope Benedict, right? And but that the world is wants to create this humanistic world without God, and that those who stand in the way, and I really found this fascinating, the way he said it, will be excommunicated from society, and indeed, this is what's happening. You know, the pandemic, you know, more and more people are calling it the plandemic. Have you heard that?
Plandemic, no.
Plandemic, the plandemic. We're not going to get into all that, but I've been listening and reading to a number of things, and, you know, you wonder, we're not going to, you know, beat that dead horse again mm-hmm. today. I want to talk about mothers, but it is a, it's disorienting. We feel very disoriented, and it is everything is upside down. You just wonder. You really wonder what's going on here.
You know, I think of how many times Our Lady has said, pray the rosary," and I got to admit, I've heard it so much, and when you try to wrap your mind about, okay, she said it so long ago.
Right.
In all the other apparitions, she says it also.
Right.
And it seems like at times like this, what we're going on today is when you probably need it the most.
Sure. Oh, sure.
And it's like, it just amazes me how I think, well, you know, you would think you would take her words at the time she says them, and then think, okay, if I do this, what am I stopping or what am I preventing or something? But it's amazing how every apparition and the way we go through life, and I think of like 9/11, it's been brought up a few times too. I think of 9/11, how people came and they prayed, and you get past that disaster, that, you know, right. And then there's always something else and something else. And it makes sense to me how, okay, the rosary should be prayed all the time and how we do it in, you know, as a body to...
Maybe we've had it too good, you know?
And
I mean, 9/11 was something that happened. It happened, and
right.
It shook us up for a moment. For a moment, really.
It's just interesting how, okay, something bad happens, and then you have a sense. And I think this, it's been years for me since I've started doing this where I get those moments where I feel a need. I have to pray. And then whatever happens goes away. But then there's always... your own personal tragedies that you have, and
sure.
It seems that you go right back to the rosary, you go right back to
sure.
praying, and it's a constant.
Yeah.
So the
hope is that this would be every moment is a moment of grace, but
right.
especially when you find yourself in a situation where you really don't have a lot of control,
mm-hmm.
and you feel not hopeless but helpless.
Right.
But you can be hopeless, but if we keep faith, and Jesus said if your faith is but the size of a mustard seed, it'll move a mountain. But you keep faith and you pray, then you don't despair, because you might find yourself in a kind of desolation, in a desert, in a walking the way of the cross, but you don't. You don't lose hope, because
yeah.
it really is, you know, and this is something, you know, we have to keep in mind and always remember that we're here on borrowed time. You know, we're not going to be here forever. I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that, you know, in 100 years, just thinking about that, it was also the apparitions happened 103 years ago in Fatima, those in Fatima, in Rwanda. It was in the 1980s, and everything she said came to be in the 1990s, that the rivers would flow with the blood of the dead. She said in Africa, in Rwanda, literally, they pulled 40,000 bodies from
wow.
the river. This was a headline of, I believe, in the Chicago Tribune. But this was during the genocide. And she tried to warn the people and call the people to change and to return to God. But all the apparitions are the same. It's the same message. And even you go back to 1858, when she appeared to Saint Bernadette and told Bernadette to pray for penance and prayer. She always calls us to penance
yeah.
and prayer, but even go back to Quito,
mm-hmm.
Quito, because the Akita, Japan, also those are I don't know if the sister is still alive. I believe she is, but she was from the 1970s, I believe. Very, very strong messages. But see, there's a consistency down through all the messages. Garabandal, you know, this is I think it's maybe approved by the local bishop. I don't know that the church, the Holy See has given its imprimatur. But but there too, you know, it's basically a similar messages. Well, they're identical in many ways. But the need for a return to God, but going all the way back to the 16th century, to Quito in Ecuador, to the sister, a religious sister that Our Lady appeared, she's called Our Lady of Good Success. She talked about everything that's happening now, and she even pinpoints the mid 20th century. Now think about it, you know, at Fatima, Our Lady, and this is why it's interesting that we. Especially after the Second Vatican Council, there was this, and it really seems rather demonic, that there was such a this allergic reaction to so many beautiful things Catholic, even within the Catholic Church, and that indeed is demonic. And Pope Paul VI even spoke about the smoke of Satan reaching to the highest places of the Vatican. That was in the 70s, in the 1970s that he said that. But this kind of allergic reaction to the Blessed Virgin Mary to the Rosary, to the messages, the apparitions. It's almost as if, you know, really, to be honest, you know, everything became very horizontal. I speak about that a lot, where, you know, humanistic, right? It's about who we are in relation to one another. But there seems to be a horrible neglect of that vertical aspect of our faith, that relationship with the supernatural, with God, and the mysterious ways that God is manifesting Himself, even to the point that which by the way, it is still shocking to me that we have that the Mass has been suspended already, you know, through Lent and now through Easter, and we don't know when the doors are going to open. But we've talked about that. But it's still really shocking to me. It's very shocking to me. The absolute need for the supernatural, for this the grace that comes in a unique and a very distinct and very deep way from the sacraments of the Church, principally speaking from the Holy Eucharist, because even baptism is the sacrament that opens the door. It cleanses us of original sin, brings us into the mystical body of Christ, the family of God, and it's the sacrament that opens the door to our participation in the sacred mysteries of our faith, the Holy Mass, the offering of our lives in order to receive Jesus in the Holy Sacrament as food for the journey, that we not collapse, but not just that we not collapse, but that we be in the mission, that Jesus reproduce Himself in us, that we become what we consume. And the fact that, you know, and part of it is, you know, and this is where I suggest, you know, looking at it, I spent a lot of time, I think all of us are wondering about all this stuff, and who are the players, and what are the forces behind all this? There's cause for a lot of angst, I should say, that something rather nefarious, rather insidious, sinister, is afoot and encroaching upon us. You know, this is, and it's at the root of it. Certainly, it's demonic. The virus in and of itself is, you know, you can argue, we don't have all the information, but there's enough information out there to know or to believe that, to really credibly believe that this was manipulated in a lab for the purpose of afflicting human beings and bringing death. So, and even if it wasn't, we know this is happening. We know this is happening in these laboratories, not only in China, but in our own country and in other parts of the world as well. People can argue or justify based on defense, but you know, it's really quite interesting what's happening. But the fact that everything that Our Lady said, the Blessed Virgin Mary said in Fatima, about Russia spreading her errors throughout the world at a time when Russia was a poor, illiterate, country, and these children in Fatima, they didn't know who they thought Russia was a woman. They didn't know what it was. This is a nation. They were these peasant children in Portugal, and that was the message they conveyed to the world through Our Lady. And, of course, it was the miracle of the sun. 70,000 people witnessed, and it was even in the secular papers, the miracle of the sun. But the Blessed Mother said that pray the rosary for conversion, for peace, that the Russia would spread her errors throughout the world. So she spoke of systemic atheism, the crisis of faith. She spoke of the immorality and the loss of souls, you know. She spoke of the division within the Church, cardinal against cardinal, bishop. And you're reading about this every day. You're reading about it every day. Cardinal against cardinal, bishop against bishops. And the loss of faith even in the highest places of the Church. As she said, you had to pray for the Pope. You must pray for the Holy Father. the successor of Peter. And so it's what's amazing to me is in, you know, the 20th century witnessed, she spoke about the annihilation of, if her message wasn't heeded, there would be the annihilation of nations. Now, at the time, it wouldn't make a lot of sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in the aftermath of the Second World War and with the arms race, it makes clear sense. We have, for the first time in history, we have the power to annihilate every nation on the face of the earth just through nuclear armaments. And that should be cause for concern, you know, and even convince us all the more of the validity of this apparition, which, by the way, as I mentioned on Sunday, and I think I mentioned it last week, put the apparitions aside, just from a biblical perspective, we know that this is not good. What has happened to humanity, this concerted effort to remove God from our lives and to excommunicate, as the Pope Benedict said, to excommunicate Christians from society. I firmly believe this. I firmly believe this. The more and more, and now what you see going on, and people may think, oh, you're nuts, you're crazy, you're insane. You know, by the way, stay safe, stay sane. I add now, I read this, stay strong. Stay strong.
Yeah.
Christ reigns. She did speak of the triumph of her Immaculate Heart at the end of, you know, after all this is it plays itself out. And we know the victory is ours because Jesus has risen from the dead. So we know that in time or out of time, certainly, he is, yes, indeed, Christ reigns, you know. He's the Lord of history. But he's not a magician that can just, he's not going to wave a wand. I mean, we're called to cooperate, to participate in this great mission, this great work of God. And it's just amazing that after having seen what happened, what unfolded in the 20th century, the extermination, genocide, holocausts, the extermination of millions, not just millions, but hundreds of millions of people during the Second World War, prior and after, under the Nazism, the whole Second World War, the Soviet Union, in China, you know, they say this was the most horrific, the most tragic century ever, was the 20th century. And now we're in the 21st century. I was just listening yesterday to something about this, too, and they said this is going to make the 20th century look like a child's play. I don't know the details, but nobody knows how it's, but it's just there's something not good happening, and but this excommunicating Christians from society if we don't adhere to the New World Order, you know, which is an order without God, which means it's a New World disorder. Even the stuff of climate change and all that, you know, somebody, Pope Benedict, actually, he spoke about this under his papacy. Pope Benedict was just a brilliant man, pope. And I heard somebody say that he's got to be one of the most intelligent, most brilliant men in the world at the time. Now, you know, why he abdicated the papacy, that still, although he says it's because he felt he was developing dementia and, you know, weak in the body and all this kind of stuff. He didn't have the strength to effectively to carry the mission of Peter. And yet he's, you know, how many years later and he's still alive, you know. But the point, and when he abdicated, you know, that lightning struck the Dome of St. Peter just within moments after his abdication, after it was made, you know, it was just kind of interesting too, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, the other interesting thing to us, I don't know if people even realize this, but when Pope Francis, this is just interesting, you know, but when he went to the window, this isn't, not when he went to the loggia right after he was elected, but when he first had his Sunday audience from the window, and all the people are in the St. Peter's Square, he released a dove. A dove, as often they did, the Holy Father, the popes do, and a vulture came and attacked the dove.
Oh,
yeah, and you know, who knows, you know, but you know, was God trying to prepare us or warn us for what was to come? You know, that there would be this is a worldwide. Can you imagine? We're in this worldwide pandemic. You know, a worldwide lockdown, so to speak, to varying degrees. It feels like we're really in a war, and it is the invisible enemy. But there's visible enemies behind the invisible enemy, the virus. But the fact that so much was said by there's so much was said by Our Lady, and so much indeed, you know, Russia did indeed spread her errors. Systemic atheism throughout the world, communism, that there was another great war, because when she appeared, it was during the First World War. And I didn't even put two and two together, but there was this pandemic, the Spanish pandemic, is that what they call it, the Spanish plague, mm-hmm. that took place right after this apparition in 1918. But there was this second war, the World War II. And, you know, the first ever, you know, this atomic bomb, which basically annihilated two cities, which happened to be Catholic cities, by the way. These were the Nagasaki, for at least, I don't know about Hiroshima, but certainly Nagasaki was the most Catholic city in Japan. And by the way, you know, it's interesting. I've read so often about this one rectory that was untouched.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that? In the midst of all, everything was obliterated.
Mm-hmm. But except for the rectory.
But the rectory, and they were praying, they daily prayed the rosary, and, you know, they were adhering to the message of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So it's really quite interesting, but what happened that there developed this allergic reaction to Our Lady of Fatima and the message, the apparitions, the rosary, all this after the Second Vatican Council. And it's not to dismiss the council, because really those documents are beautiful documents, especially the document on the church and all that. But it's how it was taken. It was like it was hijacked. It's as if the council was hijacked. And, you know, the beginning, I mean, look what happened in the aftermath. And it was afterwards that Pope Paul VI said the smoke of Satan has entered into the very highest places of the church. But again, this is all part of the prophetic, down through the centuries, the prophetic messages, and certainly the message of Our Lady of Fatima. Now, I have to just say before we take a break, the annihilation of nations, for the first time I was thinking, well, maybe that could be the loss of faith. You know, who knows? I mean, we have the power to physically, in a way, you know, certainly through nuclear armaments, to annihilate all the nations, which would never before in history have we had that kind of power, collectively speaking. But we now have that power, so it's not that God would do it; we could do it to ourselves. Sometimes I think, you know, it's just. Probably how this is how the you know is you read the Book of Revelation and the apocalyptic writings, and that there will be this cosmic upheaval, and there will be the final battle that will be the battle to end all battles, you know, and will the old order will pass away, and Jesus will usher in the full realization of His kingdom, which again is something we anticipate every time we celebrate the Holy Mass. But when the church participates in a almost a purely humanistic ideology, and in the absence of the supernatural, so that even the Holy Mass, the sacred mysteries, cease to be sacred. I mean, what happens, but it's as if we shroud the mystery through this preoccupation with the self or with the people, with, you know, it's And truly, you can't argue that this hasn't happened. It has happened, mm-hmm. you know. So we must heed the message. There's a point where it's too late. Well, it's never too late because, as she said, her immaculate heart will triumph, and Christ, his victory. As Jesus said, then we'll go for a break. Again, I said many, 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 many times, I'll say it again, he ends his discourse with, have peace in me. You're going to have trouble in this world, but take courage, I've conquered the world. And when we come back, I'm going to go back to that discourse. We're going to talk about, I want to say some things about the Blessed Virgin Mary in the context of our faith, and also in preparation for Mother's Day, because she is our mother. She's the mother of the church. So people, don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony, and you're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDZ.
Here is a letter and an invitation from Father Anthony and Mrs. Alday Engelman from St. Stanislaus Kostka School. During this difficult time, we all struggle in different ways. Through the gracious contribution of Big Shoulders, we will be distributing free meals to our school and parish community tomorrow, Saturday, May 9th, starting at 12 noon until 2 p.m. Please drive by the front of the school, and we will deliver meals safely to you. God bless you. Pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy with us at 3 p.m. Central Time. Streamed live from St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Go to the St. Stanislaus Kostka Church Facebook page and pray with us daily at 3 p.m.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
During this COVID-19 virus pandemic, offering you prayer and inspiration through your faith.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
The First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution is quite clear about the freedom of religion not being abridged. And yet, by executive order, only 10 people can attend a Sunday service in a house of God, even if that church has a capacity of 1,000 people, even though the attendees abide by social distancing. That's ludicrous. By executive order, your Sunday attendance is considered non-essential. And even now, the Little Sisters of the Poor have to defend their religious freedom. Again, Winds of Change will have periodic programs on the defense of our religious freedom. Stay tuned to Winds of Change.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So, Sunday is Mother's Day. You know, I've heard it said often that when a young man is wounded in battle, and often at the nearing his death, he becomes as a little boy crying out for his mother. And certainly that doesn't surprise me. I had a very similar experience when in a really, really very dark moment after having undergone major surgery, and I was told I had a 4-stage cancer, or stage 4, what do you say, stage 4 cancer. In an instant, I became, as it were, like a child again in desperate need of my mother, you know. And at that moment, no one else would suffice. Mm-hmm. It was a strange sensation, really, to be sure. In the gospel that we're going to listen to, we'll hear this on Sunday, the fifth Sunday of Easter, Jesus, on the night before he died, he said to his disciples, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God, have faith in me. The Father and I are one. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be." This was a point that I wanted to make in that last segment, and that is that, you know, part of the thing is we are going to die. We're not going to be here forever. I did say we're on borrowed time, but and so he says, I will go prepare a place for you, and I will come back again and take you to myself so that where I am, you also may be. This is the eve of his death. This is his farewell discourse. And in this 14th chapter of John's Gospel, what we're going to hear on Sunday, in the text, in the first 12 verses, Jesus refers to the Father 12 times. In 12 verses, he refers to his Father 12 times. So I reread the whole discourse and the priestly prayer of Jesus. So chapter 14, 15, 16, 17, there's four chapters. They're not long. They're very short. But by the end of the 17th chapter, Jesus will have mentioned, I actually went and counted, he will mention the Father 34 times.
Wow.
34 times. You can count them yourself. I may have miscounted by one or two. But 34 times he makes reference to his Father. He uses the word Father, my Father. And again, this is the farewell discourse. This is his high priestly prayer offered to the Father on behalf of us all. The next day, as he dies on the cross, Jesus expresses great anguish, feeling now abandoned by his Father. Abandoned. So the night before, he referred to his Father 34 times. And then, of course, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he made reference to his Father, and I think before Pilate in the Gospel, he makes reference to his Father. But I was just looking at the farewell discourse and the high priestly prayer. But 34 times he speaks to the Father. The next day, he feels the absence of his Father. He feels the anguish in the absence. His Father, he expresses that the Father has abandoned me. What does he say? Eli, lema sabachthani. We hear that always. We always remember that from Good Friday. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Father, oh Father, why hast thou forsaken me? But his mother is there. His mother is there. And she shares and enters in, she shall enter into his suffering. The sword pierces her heart. The prophetic words of Simeon the prophet when the Blessed Mother brought the baby Jesus into the temple. And, that very powerful that this child is destined for the fall and the rise of many. And you, Mother, she's looking to Mary, you, a sword will pierce your heart, that the secret thoughts of many may be laid bare. She becomes the altar upon which his precious blood is shed. And it's from the cross Jesus places his mother in your life and in my life. Woman, behold, these are your children. Son, daughter, children, behold, this is your mother. So like the beloved disciple John, from that moment, we take her into our hearts and into our homes, because the gospel says that John took her into his home. The family of God is then solidified and made complete when the Blessed Virgin Mary is given her deserved place in the family as its mother. This is really, I just think this is, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but it's a marvel of our Catholic faith, the mystical body of Christ, the family of God. And Jesus, though he felt abandoned by his Father, he has the consolation of his mother. And it was her presence in his suffering that perhaps gave him the strength to sigh in the last moment, Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit. Into your hands I commend my spirit. And as it was for Jesus, so it will be for us. She will be our consolation at the moment of our death. Jesus is, I will come for you. I go and I will come for you and take you to myself. I will take you. But he gives us his mother and trust to the church, his mother. And, you know, this is basically what I'm going to speak about on Sunday. But what was, or I'll ask you, Tony, what was the first night prayer you learned as a child? Most of the time our mothers taught us this prayer. But do you remember what it was?
I think it was the Hail Mary.
Okay, well, that, but okay, well, we'll get, but do you recall this prayer? Do you know this prayer?
No, which one?
Now I lay me down to sleep. Yeah. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take.
Yeah.
That was the first night prayer, you know, night prayer that we were taught as children. So that already as little children, we were taught that there will come a moment in time when we'd be called away from this world, you see, away from this world. And Jesus, that's what he reminds us in the gospel. I go, but I will come and take you, you know, at the appropriate time. I will take you to myself. I will take you. I've prepared a place for you. But you're right. The first Marian prayer, our mothers taught us, closes with this same realization. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And we pray this often in the course of the day. If we pray the rosary at least one time, I know people who pray the rosary several times in the course of a day, but if we pray one time, we will have prayed 50 times the Hail Mary, the Ave Maria. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Again, we talked about that yesterday, the first words of the angel's greeting to Mary and Elizabeth, her words to Mary in the visitation, which comes right out of Luke's gospel. But there's just this great consolation knowing that Jesus and the Blessed Virgin Mary will come for us at the appointed time. And by the way, you know, that's I think about this often when I hear about these coronavirus patients who die alone. They don't have family members. But you know what? And this is why it's a horrible thing. It's a terrible thing when we don't have faith, when we don't nurture that faith, when we don't inculcate, teach the faith to our children, because in fact, we're not alone. In death, we're never alone. Even if nobody's there, you know, God is there. And Jesus and Mary will come. This has always been the belief, our Catholic belief, that she will come for us at the moment of death and probably come with our own mothers and with our, you know, the you know, who knows, you know. I always think of that. This is a very powerful. I love this moment in the Lord of the Rings when Frodo, at the end of the story, as they're all, they're at the, who was it, Bilbo Baggins is going on a journey, right? But then all of a sudden, Gandalf says to Frodo, and it's interesting because he's standing there, it looks like he's in the vestments of a priest, and then there's, what's her name, the image of Our Lady, the Blessed Virgin. She's got they couldn't have picked a more beautiful woman for this this role. Do you know who I'm talking about?
I can't think of her name right now.
Godalina or something like that? I don't remember her name, but but they're there. So there's she's there, Gandalf is there, I think somebody else, but Gandalf says, Frodo, it's time. It's time. And of course he and his the Sam and the other two guys, the fellows, I forgot their name now. Anyway, the characters, the hobbits, and they're crying and they're saying goodbye and all that. And then Frodo, he leaves. But there was this thing, I've heard it said so often, it's really beautiful, and I think it's very appropriate that when we say goodbye, you know, a sacred goodbye to those who die, you know, it's as if we, you know, they're on the boat and we see we're there until the boat disappears. We're Pippin, Mary, and Sam. Thank you. Do you remember the name of the woman? Okay, I keep going. But as we say goodbye, and you know they're gone. You know he's gone. As we say he's gone, we can no longer in our sight. There are those on the Galadriel. There are those in this, here he comes, or here she comes, right? It's a beautiful thing. But that's our faith. And so, you know, even, you know, for those who have lost loved ones in this coronavirus pandemic because of the nature of the sickness, the disease, and the isolation, confinement, isolation separated from all loved ones, you know, this is where, you know, we would be praying the rosary, right? Mm-hmm. We would be praying the chaplet of the Divine Mercy. And we would put our trust in God who would come for them. Often, you know, people speak of loved ones who they begin to call out on their loved ones, you know. This is really quite interesting. It's a beautiful mystery. Anyway, we got to take a break. We'll take a break. We'll come back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Here is a letter and an invitation from Father Anthony and Mrs. Alday Engelman from St. Stanislaus Kostka School. During this difficult time, we all struggle in different ways. Through the gracious contribution of Big Shoulders, we will be distributing free meals to our school and parish community tomorrow, Saturday, May 9th, starting at 12 noon until 2 p.m. Please drive by the front of the school and we will deliver meals safely to you. God bless you. Because of the unprecedented COVID-19 virus pandemic, the Providence Soup Kitchen at St. Stan's needs your immediate help. The Soup Kitchen is asking for your donations of water, juice boxes, individual food servings, hand sanitizers, and Lysol. The Providence Soup Kitchen at St. Stan's is operating regular hours during this pandemic. The Soup Kitchen is operated by the Daughters of St. Mary Providence from the basement of St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, which serves over 21,000 meals per year. To offer your help, please call Sister Darlene at 773-870-2435. That number again is 773-870-2435. Thank you.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy with us at 3 p.m. Central Time. Streamed live from St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Go to the St. Stanislaus Kostka Church Facebook page and pray with us daily at 3 p.m.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I just want to, well, let me just say, so as mothers are so often the heart of the family, the Blessed Virgin Mary, by the authority of God, is the heart of the church. And as with our own earthly mothers, it's no wonder we go to the Blessed Mother in our needs and in our sufferings. No one else will suffice to bring us the blessed fruit of her womb, Jesus. God the Father has so beautifully ordered creation in such a wonderful way. And I mean, really, truly, I want to end on the spiritual, you know, but this is something I read, and I just, this is from mothers, and fathers too, but it's, now that everybody is homeschooling, right? Mm-hmm. The kids are all in school. I was just reading this. Actually, Armin sent it to me. It's, most of us over 65 were homeschooled in many ways. So this is looking back at the 1950s and 60s, I see now. So that would include me as one. Besides, I'm 65, so I'm not over 65. I'm just 65.
65, you know? Not over yet.
But so this is how we were school. All of us were homeschooled. So those of you out there who are 65 or older, mm-hmm. But I had commentary because I sent it out to our parents or our students, and I had even students that I had in the school who are now parents, and they have their kids in the school, and they said, I was in school in the 80s and the 90s, or the 90s and the, and I, you know, I remember this as well. So here's how we were schooled in the 1950s and 1960s. My mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. She would say,
I remember that.
Yeah. If you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. My mother taught me religion. You better pray that comes out of the carpet. My father taught me about time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of the next week.
I still say that today.
Really, yeah. My father taught me logic. Because I said so, that's why.
Good logic.
Right. My mother taught me more logic. If you fall out of that swing and break your neck, you're not going to the store with me. Yeah. My mother taught me foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. I think everybody's heard that.
Yeah.
My father taught me irony. Keep crying, and I'll give you something to cry about, right?
Yeah.
My mother taught me about the science of osmosis. Shut your mouth and eat your supper, right? My mother taught me about contortionism. Just look at that dirt on the back of your neck, you know? get it? Contortionism?
I'm gonna do that.
How do you turn around and how are you going to see the back of the neck? My mother taught me about stamina. You'll sit there until all that spinach is gone. My mother taught me about weather. This room of yours looks as if a tornado went through it. Your wife probably says that to you,
yeah,
right?
Still.
Yeah.
Even when I do clean it up.
Yeah. My mother taught me about hypocrisy. If I told you once, I've told you a million times, don't exaggerate. So when I read that, I was trying to think, that's because the mother exaggerates? Or because,
yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah. That's what I would say when my father would come home and, my father taught me the circle of life. I brought you into this world and I can take you out. My mother taught me about behavior modification. Stop acting like your father. My mother taught me about envy. There are millions of less fortunate children in this world who don't have wonderful parents like you do. My mother taught me about anticipation. Just wait until we get home.
Heard that.
Anticipation. My mother taught me about receiving. Boy, you're going to get it when your father gets home. That was a big one for my mother. Just wait until your dad gets home.
Just wait.
You know, we'd wait, and we tried to catch him before he got out of the, as he's come from the car to the house, we try to catch him.
Whatever he tells you, it's a lie.
Right. And talk about exaggeration. I'd sit next to my father, and my mother would be at the other end. He'd be at the end. I was next to him. Yeah. Tony did this, and he did that. And my father, and I said, I didn't do it. And he hit me upside the head. Are you calling your mother a liar? And that really happened to me many times. My mother taught me about we did that one. Let's see. My mother taught me medical science. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, you're going to get stuck that way. My mother taught me ESP. Put your sweater on. Don't you think I know when you're cold? My father taught me humor. When that lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me. Right, the humor. How can you run when you have no toes?
Exactly.
My mother taught me how to become an adult. You don't eat your vegetables, you never grow up. We're going to run out of time here. My mother taught me genetics. You're just like your father. My mother taught me about my roots. Shut that door behind you. Do you think you were born in a barn? My mother taught me wisdom. When you get to be my age, you'll understand. My father taught me about justice. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. And then I add one to this. My mother would say, when I'm 6 feet under, then you'll be sorry. Then you'll be sorry. My mother would say that a lot. When I'm 6 feet under, then you're going to really be sorry, you know?
You'll miss me when I'm gone.
You're going to miss me when I'm gone. Did you hear any of that stuff?
Yeah.
Anyway, so we've come to the end. Well, we'd finished that up pretty fast. So that was just, but anyway, happy Mother's Day to all mothers, you know? It's boy, I tell you, a difficult time, especially those who are home, trying to take care of the kids as they're homeschooling and working from home.
Yeah.
Taking care of the family. Anyway, happy Mother's Day. Really, God be with you. I pray Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
Amen.
Meaningless. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time.